Hello, and welcome to the Swift Talk. I'm Kate, the tortured Swiftie.
Oh, and I'm so untortured, so unwaterboarded, so in this moment, not so Swift Sam. It's harder to say that part of my name and title, so Jason has to play that on the soundboard.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway.
Hi.
Hi. Big week. So I want to start with this because this, I think, is the thing you're going to care least about. So I'm going to get it out of the way.
Okay.
But I think our listeners will care about this more than you two will, which is standard.
I love you too. They're my favorite band.
So I got the CD and the album pre-ordered, and it came, and I opened it, and I was like, huh, no confetti stars. You know what? They're probably just like rushing to get it out in time. Okay. And then I ordered my Tortured Poets cardigan, which I love. And that came in this weekend, and I opened it up. No stars. We always get confetti stars. And no one got confetti stars in their Tortured Poets merch.
Is this just to, you know, really set you in the mindscape of being tortured?
It leads me deeper into the Taylor is
done.
Closing her chapter. We aren't celebrating anymore. We are tortured and the book has ended.
Maybe she's trying to save a couple bucks.
She's worth $1.1 billion, according to Forbes magazine this morning.
Yeah, before taxes.
No, that's after taxes.
That's after taxes? No. Maybe it is that, yes, the now begins the summer of our discontent. She's finally going to be fully settled, and I will be. At least inside of her own mind and body. The old woman on top of the hill in the falling apart home with the cats. Waiting still in the wedding dress. Maybe this is the ensemble that she's come up with for the character.
No, we're happy now. This is, she said, like, this is a point in my life. I have moved on from it. Take what you will from it. Do what you want with it. I am in a new place. So no, she's not the tortured in the wedding dress anymore. Okay. We've passed that era.
Okay.
There, done that.
Okay, hold on. So sidebar.
Lived that era.
Not sidebar.
So
rebuttal.
I'm just saying.
Rebuttal.
Just sure.
You played me one of her other songs off of this album.
I played you like five.
And one of the lyrics is, I'm so sad.
I cry all the time, but I'm so productive. It's an art. And then I'm so depressed. I act like it's my birthday every day.
So maybe.
But that's doing it with a broken heart.
So maybe that was throughout this whole time. You had to have the confetti stars and everything because.
That came before the broken heart. That's been a thing for a long time.
Okay.
But I appreciate you trying to wade into these waters, Sam. I do appreciate your commitment to attempting to be a part of it.
And now that I've dipped my toe in, I'm immediately pulling it out and saying, not for me.
Well, yeah, because.
Let's go listen to Guar or
something. It was really like kind of sad when I ripped open my cardigan packaging and stars didn't fall all over my entryway. I mean, my neighbors are probably thrilled, but.
I'm sorry, Swifties. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm sorry too, guys. Like, I feel like, you know, tell us, send me messages. Did you get stars? What do you think? I mean, I think this again is just another sign that Taylor's taking a break. She's weaning us off the perks.
I mean, she's been busy.
She's very busy.
She's been busy for the past 40 productive. Years.
She's been busy her entire life, but she has really been busy these last 4 years.
And what else?
All right, so we've got some Tortured Poet numbers. Thank God we do it on a Tuesday now so I can get some real numbers.
Real numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Real numbers. You heard it here first.
So would you like to guess how many of the top 20 Taylor's, how many of Billboard's top 20 songs Taylor occupies?
13.
No.
16.
14. First artist ever, 1 through 14.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple more there. I think there's more in there, but she has the 14 consecutive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there has been any other artist that have put out this many albums in a short period of time that could have
reached
completed this task.
Yeah. I don't either.
There are artists that have done this many albums or more in this amount of time, but have not scratched.
I think maybe the Beatles could have had that many, like enough songs on the Billboard charts at the same time. But
yeah.
I'm not sure Even like Michael Jackson, like mm-hmm. Thriller. I mean, still that's, even if he had every song on Thriller when he was like at his heyday mm-hmm. on the top Billboard, it's only going to be like 8 songs.
So Midnights, she took the top 10 and that was a big thing. And everybody was so excited. Mm-hmm. And I think Drake did the 9 out of the 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were all like, you know, that'll be great. Hopefully we'll get the top 10, all of them again. Like that'll be a fun to do it back to back new albums. So to get 14, we're all kind of like, maybe we should have streamed a little more.
Yeah, you guys really let Shayla down. You let her down.
Well, speaking of, Fortnite, the single, had 76 million streams
mm-hmm.
on streaming platforms, 31.1 million audience impressions from radio play, and sold 19,000 copies of just the single, which is crazy. And then every song from Tortured Poets is on the Billboard Top 200. I think even in the top 100, I don't think anything charted less than 50. I have to double check that.
That song was only purchased 19,000 times as a single?
Like actually bought, like right. Paid
yeah.
for,
yeah.
Because she sold the physical copies too.
Right. Yeah. For me, that seems just a little low, but at the same point, I have to realize that goes alongside that everyone who's listening has bought it and then they're streaming.
Yeah. Like, so it's already on all the albums. And speaking of albums, this is her 14th album to debut at number one. Only one album of hers has not.
It was a debut?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. and it's the first album to have 1 billion streams on Spotify, and it took it 5 days to get there, which I feel like was a little slow.
The standards you are setting for this kingdom of Taylor Swift clangers is crazy.
She sold 1.9 million copies of Tortured Poets in the first week.
Mm-hmm.
859,000 of them were vinyls. Good. She's best vinyl sales in recent memory. She beat her own record. That was Taylor's version of 1989
mm-hmm.
with 693,000.
Dude, bring the wax back. I love that people are buying vinyls again.
So put Taylor's impact on vinyl into like perspective for you. In 2006, there was only 900,000 vinyls sold in the U.S. Today, in 2023, Taylor sold 3.5 million, or one out of every 15 records was a Taylor Swift record bought.
And what was it for vinyl again? What was the number? 849?
For just this album was 859,000.
Dude, now these are numbers I can get behind.
Tortured Poets, but if you take album sales, streaming, and radio play,
mm-hmm.
accounts for $4 million in revenue for the first week. And that's with an album that's controversial.
In regards to?
Oh, well, the Christians hate it because she uses religious symbolism. The parents groups hate it because the language and the themes. It's really hard to clean up some of these songs for kids bop. The critics mixed bag on it because you have to really, and this is an album where you have to be a deep dive Swiftie. There's so many callbacks to other songs and other albums and other parts of the fandom that you really, I don't think listening to this album once and reviewing it is going to get a rave. Mm-hmm. Listening to it over and over again for a week is really going to change your perspective. And if you're a music fan, but not a high level Taylor Swift fan, it's going to not hit like it did for.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm fine. Like if you are over this, you think she's oversaturated, you're ready to move on. That is fine. We wish you well. You'll be back. Enjoy.
This is her like 30 days in the desert, Last Supper, all wrapped into one. Yeah. It's, you got to make the pilgrimage to really get behind it.
Yeah.
It's going to make you question a lot of your faith.
It's 31 songs. Like.
So she uses religious imagery?
Oh, yeah. We'll get into those songs as we do. But even the one we're listening to today, So Long London, mm-hmm. starts very like you're in a church with a choir.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they don't like it. It's fine. It's fine. They don't have to. One pastor came out and he was like, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, if they have a child, will give birth to the Antichrist. Like, they're promoting satanic values. And Papa Kelce's like, that's my boy.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's hitting the point of ridiculousness now with people being mad. I saw a TikTok of a mom, again, like, these just keep popping up. And she's like, my daughter was so excited. And now I have to be like, no, not for you. And I was like, there was actors that I loved growing up. And they're like, they would do, you know what? Perfect example. This will age me, but I liked Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And Elizabeth Berkley grew up and she did Showgirls. Mm-hmm. Could I watch Jesse Spano's new big movie? Absolutely not. Like, sometimes these happen.
Yeah.
You'll listen to it when you get older. My niece doesn't get to listen to Tortured Poets. Poor little Grace. Very upset about it.
Grace is 14?
Nine.
Oh, right, right, right. Grace is the younger one.
Yeah, this is Christian's.
Yeah. Yes, 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 mm-hmm. yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, she's just like, well, apparently it's not for me. Like, it's not.
It's not.
But here's all these other albums you can keep listening to and enjoying.
Go listen to Debut again. Have fun.
Yeah, or you know what? Let's get real wild. Here's some 1989 Taylor's version.
Oh, I don't know if you're going to be able to handle this. Wild. Shake It Off. What?
Also, now a lot of the millennials are talking about how Taylor's really in her emo phase. And so they've been doing mashups with emo songs and this album. And that's all over my TikTok. And that's just like a boost of serotonin I didn't know I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like really, because her, you know, her lyrics got a little emo.
A little emotional, a little bit darker, a little bit jagged.
At her heart, she's really just an emo girly wrapped in sparkles. Her black eyeliner has sparkles in it.
Yeah, well, that's where all the confetti stars went to her eyeliner.
Well, she was in Vegas, so.
Yeah? Did anything stay in Vegas or did anything not stay in Vegas?
She was supporting Travis Kelce at the Patrick Mahomes Foundation charity event,
mm-hmm.
where Travis auctioned off his significant other. Travis's significant other gave him a 4-pack of tickets to the Eras Tour to auction off. It went for $60,000.
Damn, Daniel.
Yeah. She was there supporting him. They think she was at the golf tournament. We can't really tell. It looks kind of like her.
She was putting around?
Yeah. She's putting around, hanging out on the greens. But yeah, and then there's a lot of like, will she, won't she, about the Met Gala. TMZ said she's not going, even though she's been invited.
Mm-hmm.
Page Six says she is going. People Magazine said she's not going. People Magazine's usually right. So we're like, all right, that's kind of a bummer, but okay.
She's going to show up out front with a 6-pack and just be like, just standing outside, just drinking a 6-pack of beer, just watching everyone go in, go out and be like, I don't need to be in there. I'm good. I'm good right here.
She's prepping to go back on tour.
Mm-hmm.
May 9th, we're back on the Eras Tour and we're going to find out what's new.
And this is Europop?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She starts in Paris.
Mm.
Works her way around.
We were in Paris.
Yeah.
We were some Waris.
And then she says, so long in London.
Hmm. Do you think that says she's going to end the show?
I don't know. We'll find out. We are pretty sure from some posts she's made that Tortured Poets is going to get added to the set list, which now means I need to go. So I got to figure out which one I'm going to.
If you would like to send Kate to Europe, please.
If you have a friend that backs out and you need a buddy, I will fly and meet you. Let me know. I'm a good concert buddy. I got the glitter.
Mm-hmm.
TSA really loves me. On that note.
We going to songs?
Yeah, we're doing a track 5 today, and you know how I feel about a track 5.
You love a track 5.
I love a track 5.
What's the song for track 5?
So Long London.
So Long London. Okay. I'll write that down. I don't know if that's what it's going to play, but that's what
you'll write down under my little reminder of what the album's
Tortured
called.
Tortured Poets Department.
Because what were you calling it?
I was calling it, Sad Writers Guild? No, I was calling it.
You were calling it the Tortured Poets Society.
Yep.
Sometimes you call it the Dead Poets Society.
Mm. Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Please don't stand on the table.
I could. I can only go once.
This table won't hold you.
Anyway, so we're going to hit pause. You hit pause. And we're popping in to track 5. So Long, London. We'll be right back. Well, Sam, pensive over there.
Ease. Let me tell you how terrible this song is. Relax. Deep strong breaths. You are peace. You are one with the universe. The universe, as we know, is constantly ending and expanding.
Okay. Much like Taylor Swift's discography.
This has it's a vibe. It has a vibe.
Okay.
It's not necessarily my vibe.
Fair.
In some ways, it's like, I'm trying to remember the name of the album, but like when Coldplay was doing like Viva La Vida and like their sound became more orchestral and in some ways stripped down and electric.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's one where it's just like the couple of big drums and like.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. Coldplay was not my jam.
That's
but
fine.
I know that song. I know kind of what you're talking about.
That's fine. I you were more listening to the Grateful Dead at that point, being like, why would I listen to anything else? Taylor Swift's the thing.
Huh? Welcome. I love energetic fan base.
There's a lot of ethereal England like energy.
Mm-hmm. You feel like you're in an abbey.
I wouldn't say I felt like I was Downton.
No.
Nor would I say I would feel like I was in downtown Soho. There was, you know, fairy lights from through the mist.
I love that line.
There was another like huge. There were some things that was just like I started thinking about like, you know, cracking the safe. I started thinking about like the British, like bank heist movies. I started thinking
I did not see that coming.
There's a lot of things that, like, once my mind got into Farewell, it was that Tinseltown Farewell. It's like revealing the veil of it being, these were all the cool things at the time. You know, I was there. I had Goodbye London. I had one moment of warm sun because notoriously
it's foggy.
Foggy, which actually London fog is actually a myth.
Yeah, I know.
It's all. Yeah. For all of you who are not like Kate and I, who don't know that London fog was actually post-industry, London was covered in all the smoke from all the smokestacks of industry. So it wasn't actually fog. It was soot. There was a lot of, thank you for letting me mansplain, audience.
We do love that. Not to cut you off, but I think this song really kind of, I had to listen to it a couple times because when I saw the title, I was like, oof, Joe. Good luck. And then I heard
this is about Joe?
Just a bit.
I had no idea.
Who knows? It could be about Maddie. He's British. But I listened to it and I was like, it sounds, while resigned, there's a spark of hope. Like you'll find someone like, well, it's, I think that moment in the relationship where you've grieved it, you understand what your feelings are. You've untangled what you're mad about, what you're disappointed about, what happened, and you're answering, like, it's that calm response in your head to all of those fights. You're like, you know, you say I abandoned the ship, but I was going down with it. My white knuckle dying grip, holding tight to your quiet resentment. My friends say it isn't right to be scared. And it's like that moment where you're like, you realize it, like the puzzle comes into, you see the puzzle for what it is, and you're pulling back going, there was nothing else I could have done here. It's a kind of a quiet resignation of like, this is where we're at. Like we've moved on. It's over. Like there was some good here, but it's like, she has a song Happiness and the line is,
there was a warm gun.
No, there was happiness because of you and there'll be happiness after you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think like listening to these songs, and they say this on the album on the beginning, a lot of this podcast, it's going back into her relationship with Joe and she's tying up the loose ends of this relationship, which has to be incredibly cathartic. But also it's really interesting from a fan perspective to be like, you know, she loved a London boy and now she's saying farewell. And there were some good times there. There was happiness, but, and there'll be happiness again. Like she's going to be okay. He's going to find someone new. They're going to be fine. And I think it's just a really interesting take on the end of a breakup. Like, I'm mad that you took my youth.
I'm with you on that because she's resigned to the belief of her being like, I gave up. I stopped trying. This was not going to pan out. There was no use. Yeah. Like it was given. I said, I can't
give
this.
Yeah.
And it's not just like one day I can't do this anymore, I'm done. It's like, no, I, for a while I stayed there static and stagnant. Just, I can't help you. I can't do this for you. I can't bring this out. I'm just existing alongside you.
She didn't opt to be your odd man out.
It's know? So like, it's interesting and like that. I found the club where she's heard great things about.
Well, and there's been a lot of speculation that Joe cheated. And who could say lines like this don't help that speculation?
Allegedly.
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 Allegedly. Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly.
But then she goes on to say, I stopped CPR. After all, it's no use. And in You're Losing Me, which is very much about Joe, we think, hypothetically, she said, my heart won't start anymore. And then in this, you kind of feel like there's a heartbeat of the bass. Like it's a...
electric bass that...
And so I think we're listening to this being like, well, your heart's still... You're like, you're saying goodbye and your heart's beating again. Like you've come back to life a little bit.
Maybe Joe's DNR.
Yeah. I think Joe is DNR.
Maybe he's DNR.
I think that relationship... And I was talking to the girls about it the other day when we were out and we were like, you know... It's a very specific type of breakup because you've done the quiet breakup, get back together, quiet breakup, get back together. And you know, the friends are like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? You know how this story ends. Mm-hmm. But they're like, I will support this, I guess. And you're kind of getting to the end of it and you've run into the brick wall until you can't run into it anymore. She's figured it out. She knows that this isn't going to change. She's done everything in her power and she can walk away knowing that this is what it is. Mm-hmm. It is like, there's no waking up in 10 years being like, what if? And I think when you take that juxtaposition of like, she and Joe were done, there was no more questions, and her situationship with Maddie, where she had been in this what if for 10 years, and that manic moment of love bombing that she got into with that, and the rest of this album, this song is sadder and like softer.
So a few, like about maybe like a month and change ago, someone said almost verbatim this line, you know, the I'm pissed off, you let me give you all that youth for free. They're talking about a past long-term relationship. They're like, I was in this relationship for like almost 10 years. And I'm like, God, like I was the hottest I've ever been. I was this. I can't believe. And like, it was that idea of being like, yeah, even though you realize later that the relationship was not going to pan out, that you tried and you did all the things and like it worked until it didn't work and maybe it stayed together a lot longer than it should have been. But the idea of being like, what is the cost of like that? You're like, you know, and now that I'm out of this relationship, I feel like my mind is more on the straight and narrow. I know exactly what I want and who I am and all these things. And then you look at like what it cost you. I'm like, yeah. Taylor gave 10 years of, she gave her 20s.
Six.
Wasn't 14? No. Wasn't 38?
No.
Just six years. Get over it. I'm joking. The idea of it being like, yeah, you don't get those moments back. Like that's the biggest resource you have as a human being is time.
Yeah.
Money is great, but time, you can't get it back.
One of the guys I work with in the kitchen, he was like, Kate, she's a billionaire. Like, why is she sad? If I had $1 billion, I wouldn't be sad. And what? I was like, I'm not sure that's true.
That's not true. Damn. Oh my God.
He's so sweet. I was like, no, like billionaires get their heart broken too. They just get to self-soothe way fancier than we do.
Everyone feel bad for your billionaires because no one can relate to them. No one can relate to a billionaire. And now Taylor's unrelatable. That's what this album is about.
Okay.
All right. Let's get back on the rails.
Let's get back.
So the chorus that's causing a rift with the religious community.
Not this song, really.
Okay.
This song. No, there's other ones and we'll get into it, but they just don't like. They've never liked Taylor. They're not liking this album, which is fine. Don't listen. Don't buy it.
It has that. So I'm gonna say this long form because in my mind I'm saying it short form and it's probably gonna get us edited. There's a faux a cappella quality to it.
Oh yeah. It's very Aaron Dessner. Love it.
It's what's that? What's that movie with the girls and the a cappella?
Pitch Perfect.
Pitch Perfect. It has that. production quality. Yeah,
it could absolutely be done by an occupant. I'm sure it will be done by several.
I'm positive it's going to be done.
Those TikToks are coming. What I thought was interesting is you swore that you love me, but where were the clues? I died on the altar waiting for proof.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know she was like, I wouldn't marry me either.
Right. Like, but do you think that she still feels that way?
I think that she does not. I think that she is in a much more, I hesitate to use the word healthy because again, I don't know, but I think she's much more of an equal partnership there where they spend a lot of time publicly supporting. Like Joe never wanted to interact with Taylor's fans. Like Joe never wanted to be part of
her world.
And Travis is like, have a friendship bracelet. Like, let's take the picture.
Yeah. I'm going to spectate.
I'm here.
I'll be active.
Yeah. Like
episode one through 120 me would have been like, well, she said in the last song or what? Yeah, sure. It's interesting to say like, are we charting her growth or are we just saying like she can be of two minds?
I think we're with this album. She really, I said to somebody the other day, it feels a bit uncomfortably personal because you're listening to what feels like her diary and you're watching her kind of work through all of these emotions. And I can only imagine like her re-recording Reputation as she is breaking up with Joe or done with Joe or wherever she is on that path. And the second half of that album is a love letter to Joe. And so to be like, we're done. And I like bringing back all of these feelings and like going through your discography and really kind of reliving past traumas of whether it's All Too Well or, you know, Dear John or the triumphs, like Delicate and Call It What You Want, to go into this and like relive it when you're in a dark place, when you're in a sad place and your life has been, everything that you've seen for your future is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're like, well, maybe it's a sign that I should be with this person. And that situationship blows up in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to really like put yourself back together in front of the whole world while prancing on stage in a leotard and 6-inch heels. Like, you know, I think it's really interesting to see how she decided to be very honest in this album in a way that like this song gives you a real picture of those days leading up to the end. Like, she's like, you know what? I have to say goodbye. I loved this place, but it doesn't work for me anymore. And I get that. Like, I have had a relationship where I was in a different city and it was their city and their place and I loved it, but like, it's theirs. And you leave it behind when you're done with that relationship.
Well, really take that and like really deep dive with this forethought into, and you say, I abandoned the ship, but I was going down with it. My white knuckle dying grip holding tight to your quiet resentment. And my friend said, it isn't right to be scared every day of a love affair. Every breath feels like the rarest air when you're not sure if he wants to be there.
Yeah.
And that is what she thought love was. And now it's the, I tried so damn hard and I was in a way foolish and in a way I was the champion.
And like, I feel that.
Yeah.
Like I've been there and I like, and it's hard. It's hard when you're in two different places. It's hard when you're in two different worlds and it's hard when your worlds don't collide.
Taylor is for lack of a better man insight, sunshine on stage.
Yeah. She's confetti.
And she's with somebody who their relationship is their relationship, but he is more of the brooder.
Mm-hmm.
Things need to be dark. He's more of the Uncle Nietzsche. Everything in life is going to destroy you. Here, enjoy this bicycle on your quinceañera. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so she's wondering this whole time, like, how much more of this darkness do I have sadness too. I have trauma. I have these things, but you need more of that. I need to still be at your level, but I can't always do both. It's hard for me to go up on stage. I can do it, but it's hard for me to go up on stage and be like, we're never getting back together as this joyous cheer, and then go off stage and be like, well, I'm gonna text my boyfriend who's like, did you cry today? Are you sad about the economy? Like, it's just
it's
absolutely taxing.
It's hard to, and it's hard to be with somebody who doesn't want to be there. Like, it's hard to be with somebody who isn't going to show up for you.
Not even,
And like, that's the thing. Like,
are they that non-committal?
Are the Swifties a lot?
Where's the proof?
Yes.
Where are the clues?
Yeah. But like, show me, like, if you, the fan base stresses you out, which fair, we're a little feral. But when they started, the Swifties were not then what they are now. Like, it was a small, energetic army.
Okay.
And now it's like a, you know.
Right. But this is, if this relationship was 6 years, we're talking 7 or 8 years ago. 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Was when this started. You guys haven't evolved that much. You've just multiplied.
Exactly.
More.
We're bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And a little crazier.
You are the sun that imploded, and it's now sinking into itself and expanding, creating a black hole, just in theoretical science. In this case, it's just there's more of you, and there's a lot more depth of, like, yeah, sucking in all the content.
Yeah. Yeah. The cult, you know.
The cult.
Major growth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it's, I think Joe really needed to, like, I think Joe was very intimidated by the level of fame that Taylor got when she came back into the zeitgeist. Like, when they met, when they started dating, she was very much in her quiet era. Like, she did not want to be seen. She was not out in public. There was nothing about her. And they lived like that for the first 2 years of their relationship. And then she was ready to go back. She healed. She was ready to go back to being Taylor Swift. Mm-hmm. She put out Lover. There was a lot of, like, hype. There was Lover Fest, but she was only going to do 4 dates in 2 cities. Like, she wasn't going to do the big tour because he lived through the Reputation tour, and, you know, that's hard. And then, you know, Folklore came out and her fame started to really rise, and then Evermore came out, and then it was at a fever pitch, and then we got Midnights, and then we got the Eras tour, and then we got the, like, it just kept getting bigger. And I think he was like, I did not sign up for this. This is not what I anticipated. Like, I knew you were a pop star, but this is, and I don't even think Taylor saw this coming. Nobody saw this coming. This is wild. And it's been a wild ride for her, but she likes it and she's enjoying her success. And I think he just couldn't get there.
I think that they are two very different when it comes to their idea of peace, people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that both of them meeting at the Met was apropos, but they were definitely both there for very different reasons.
One of them walked the red carpet and paparazzi screamed their name, and one of them kind of probably went in through the side door because no one knew who they were.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's the opposite. One of them, both of them walked on the red carpet, but one of them wasn't the notoriety, and so they're, you know, who do I meet? It's not going to necessarily be these people on the other side of the rope. It's going to be, who are the people that, oh, they're my peers. Well, I can be at their level too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then these people on the other side of the rope are going to know who I am.
I think too, when you get into a relationship and you're in a different life phase than you're normally in, and they know you as that, it's really hard when you go back, when you've healed from your trauma, when you go back into your real life. It's like, when I was a real, like, I was a party girl and I was out and about all the time and, like, really liked to go out, and, like, I was never home.
Mm-hmm.
And I dated somebody and, like, that's how we met. They liked, that was their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that that wasn't really what I wanted to do anymore. And I like to be in my house that I pay a lot of money to live in. And I like to be a little quiet on Mondays and, like, I don't really want to be out every day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that really changed our dynamic a lot. It really changed how we related, and it really kind of threw them for a loop. And on a much larger scale, I think that's what happened with Taylor and Joe. Like, she went from being this homebody, like, just the two of us, no one knows anything. Like, this is kind of fun, secret, little, like, quiet, just us, to, no, I write songs about my life. They're going to talk about you, and they're going to have theories, and they're going to follow you, and they're going to be interested in you, and they'll watch your movies, and, you know, they'll theorize on what's going on, and they'll talk about what you're wearing. And he was like, nope, no thank you. Nope, not for me. But on the other side of that coin, Travis is like, oh, they're cute. They're like feral little kittens. Look at them. They're rolling around and scratching things. And his brother loves it because he winds him up and he goes, hey, Swifties, thanks for voting for us.
Right. It's secondhand fandom.
Yeah.
And one of them is like, I don't want yours. I want mine. And the other one's like, oh, dude, yours came through. All right, cool. Hey, guys. Good to see you all. Okay, take it easy.
You guys, it's cute. They're learning about football. Look at that. They're active.
It's the parent who their kids bring home the friends, and they're like, I don't really like these friends you hang out with. And the other parent is like, oh, all of them. Yeah, sure. Let's get some more lemonade out here. Let's make some hot dogs. Let's cook tonight. It's that I'm going to cater to you, not because you now like me because of Taylor. It's, yeah, you showed up. Hi.
So it's kind of like having step parents. So you're like, Taylor brought her kids into the relationship, mm-hmm. who were kind of on their best behavior at the beginning. And then like their true colors came out. And Joe was like, no, badly behaved. Travis is like, yeah, let's go. Teach me your ways, guys. What do I need to know?
Hold on 1 second. I have a very important question to ask you.
Okay.
So in this situation between Travis and always
Joe.
Okay. Who is Julia Roberts and who is Susan Sarandon?
Oh, from
from Step Moms.
Oh, that's tough.
It is tough.
Because the fan base did not really want to buy into the Travis Kelce thing. They took a bit. Yeah, they got there, but
stinks
took a
to
bit.
Be you.
But yeah, I think, yeah. So I guess Travis is Julia Roberts.
Travis is Julia Roberts?
Yeah. I mean, we, Joe, in our minds.
Joe's dead.
We've moved on.
I think that this song is, you know, it's, how'd you describe this album? Sonically cohesive.
I like it, yeah.
Before we listen to the song, going into it, how you're describing a lot of the people critiquing this album and these songs, sure. It's not going to be if you're just a fan of music, you're probably going to just like listen to it. And it's not going to be like, it's going to be right down the line of hit and miss. Like you're going to be like, it's not going to be sought after.
Tortured Poets?
Yeah. I think that this song is, it's good, not great.
Oof.
And I say that it's not grabbing me.
Oh,
I like it, but I'm not like, I need to listen to it again.
You do. You need to listen to it a couple times because.
Well, that's the thing is I don't have the urge to do it. I'm sure if I was.
Well, because you don't have that chip yet, but we're working on it.
But so here's the thing. It's been, this is album 11.
Yes.
And this is podcast 548. It's like there's the information is there. The appreciation is greater than it was.
I think this is a wildly solid track five.
Okay.
I think it is one of those quietly devastating songs where All Too Well is a devastating song and Dear John is devastating. It's like Mirabal. Like it's one of those songs you're like, oh, it's going to take me a minute to unpack everything that you've just put in here. In a way that like, I mean, you listen to the first time and you're like, solid, okay. Mm-hmm. And then you start to really like immerse in it and you like start to kind of feel the fog roll in and you're like, jeez.
Mm-hmm. I can see
the despair in that, like the desperate like understanding of you will never love me the way I want you to love me. And I had to say goodbye to a place I loved, but she never said the person that she loved. And so it was really interesting. And I think that's why you have this album.
Kind of like New York?
Yeah, this album you really have to listen to and catch these like very small nuances because she's like, you'll find someone. Like, it's very like, but she never set, like, it's just a very interesting take on
it. So the rift was the Atlantic Ocean?
Sure. But it's very interesting to see like just how she turns the phrases and just the little things. And that's why that album is so interesting to me. I'm still not fully processed. I'm still not through the back half of it. I'm still very much like working my way through in chunks.
Ooh, take your time.
I take six songs at a time to work through it. Cause there's just so much to read into and to look through and to like sift through. And I was, actually thinking about this yesterday. I was watching You've Got Mail, and there's this scene where Meg Ryan is talking to Greg Kinnear about his typewriter, and there's a look on her face, and all I could hear was Tortured Poets, who uses typewriters anyway, and it's like Taylor and her Meg Ryan moment.
Do you think that some of these songs she wrote on a typewriter just to see?
Maybe.
Because there's like
she used a lot of it in her promo for the album, so I'm sure there was some typewriting. Like,
this song makes me feel like Little Red Riding Hood and the wolf has just died, and Little Red Riding Hood has put on like cross country attire and is running through the woods now. It's like, well, that was a lot, and now we have to jog it all off. The pacing of this is like, it's like that constant cardio movement.
Well, it's the anxiety. Like, when you finally realize that, like, this was bad for you, you are done. You have moved. It's a very anxious attachment style. Like, mm-hmm. when your attachment has unraveled, when the stitches are undone, and you're like, oh, I was the only one trying. I was the only one who fought to keep this ship from sinking. I'm the only one mm-hmm. who kept sewing it back together. And that, like, the anxiety of, what did I do? And I think the kind of, and like, I like this album because she gets a little chaotic in the, mm-hmm. in the music. And I think that's why critics are hating this album, because it feels undone, or that it could use an editor, or it needs, you sure. know, and I'm like,
Stop You're Losing Me felt more like Breath Theory, of like, learn how to control your, slow your heart rate by controlling your breath. This feels like, I'm just going to work it out. I'm going to work it out and I'm going to just run this off, and I'm going to keep running until I can't run anymore.
I think she purposely put out Stop You're Losing Me and kind of like tacked it onto Midnight mm-hmm. because she knew that that was all anybody would be talking about if she put it on this album.
Mm-hmm. Are there any crazy theories yet, or do you have any crazy theories yet about this album that hasn't been, like, we're realizing, like, I know it's early days still. Midnight's became, oh, you got to actually listen to it. It's the end of relationship. But it's starting at the end. You got to work your way backwards. Or is it just the crazy theory is that this is the goodbye?
I mean, the goodbye album, I think it's a Swiftie album. I think it's the first time she's really kind of thrown everything at it. Mm-hmm. I also think this album made us all realize that there was a lot of biographical connections in Folklore and Evermore that she told us were made up just from stories. A world that she, you know, saw while she was drinking white wine. I think that it's putting a lot more context into her, mm-hmm. a lot more context into her body of work. And it's, you know, in the UK or the global charts, Lover is trending. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people are going back and being like, oh, this is not this joyful, glittery pen. Mm-hmm. This is a very like, I don't need anything. I will marry you with a paper ring. Just give me a ring. Instead of like, oh, I love you so much, it doesn't matter. And so I think it's just kind of changed the perspective on a lot of Taylor's work for the last 8 years. And especially adding the Maddie Healy thing in. So like, you're kind of just going, okay, what have we missed? Mm-hmm.
I feel like, based off of just my retention for some of these songs, those are things I can't wait to discover and talk about with mm-hmm. you.
There's just so many parallel lyrics in all of her songs now, and parallel, like, you start singing one and you go into another track and I'm like, wait a minute, mm-hmm. what just happened? I need to like make a note of this, and then I get distracted. But it's very interesting to see how this weaves through the rest of her discography mm-hmm. and like fills in holes. And it makes me think that maybe Lavender Haze was really about Maddie Healy, not Joe. And it makes me wonder, like, there's just a lot of things that make you rethink the album. And I think this album is very interesting in a way that we'll be talking about for a very long time.
Oh, wow. Lavender Haze probably is about Maddie.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, do you want to see what we're doing next?
Yeah. Each and every week we roll the Jillian Petruzziello, How Are You and Your Fellow, Please Don't Be Dead, Die. We roll this to pick an album. We pick a song.
She's good.
That's good. We got 11 albums now to choose from. 528.
We finished
songs.
One.
We have 10 albums to roll with. We did Reputation was
six.
Six. Okay, so six is in this case will be
out. Yeah, until we get the Taylor's version.
Okay,
so roll away.
Six is going to be Tortured Robin Williams Society. 10. We're going back to Midnights.
Jason's so excited.
Midnights.
Well, that's from 1989.
Gonna listen to some Midnights.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah. You got that Jason Landry.
Okay, roll your dice.
What is this? It's more than 13. It's 27, 38, 13.
Oh, we are doing Mastermind, which is the last song on the original Midnights.
Papa's happy.
I don't know how happy he's going to be about this song, but I'm happy.
Yeah, you've listened to this, right? Was it only the first 10 seconds?
I listen to the Midnights album every week.
You heard it here first, everybody.
I'm going to remind you of this.
Emerald Green, right?
That's in my dream.
Yeah. All right.
This is fun. This will be fun to put into context of the Tortured Poets. Fun back to back. She was.
Yeah,
nice roll there, Sammy.
Don't you usually go with like the last song of the album is going to be the precursor?
Yeah, I try. Sometimes not so much, but I try.
Well, you know, you are the mastermind. Mm. You, the tangled web you weave.
All right. Well, that's fun. This was a good. Sam, you really fell down the So Long London rabbit hole.
I was very much putting along on my moped. I could take you right downtown on my scooter.
All right. We will listen to it like six times in the car on the way home so you can really immerse.
London boy?
Yeah, no.
I'm so glad I'm not driving with you guys anywhere today.
Come on, Papa.
It's Pop a good time. In.
Take you around? No, a little rainy you. Day?
No, thanks.
Okay, listen to songs by Idris Elba.
Okay. We know how we feel about voices. I'll let you get away with one.
The voice of a generation, and that generation died hundreds of years ago.
She's alive and well, practicing for tour. I'm Kate the Swiftie.
I'm Not So Swift Sam. Thank you so much for listening to us.
If you haven't already, make sure to like, follow, rate, subscribe, review, tell 10 of your friends, listen 14 times.
Yeah, send me some hate to let Kate know why she's right. Let me know why I'm wrong.
We love those.
Yeah.
Let us know if you have any theories about Mastermind.
Let us know if you figured out our theory about how to get you to listen to more Mastermind on our podcast.
And again, thank you so much for listening. It means so much to us. We'll be back next week with Mastermind off Midnights here on the Swift Talk.
As they say in London, adios.